studied not his riches of grace, of the grace of God, even Christ. And, you know, I went, some of you know that I went to a show Sunday. Most of you know I wasn't here Sunday, so that's where I was. I was at a play that was The Thorn, is what it's called, and you can get online, thethorn.com, and they have bookings from now till past Easter, I think it is. But it was a fantastic show. It gives the story of Jesus all the way from Adam and Eve to his resurrection. But, yeah, there would be short clips with some dancing and stuff, but it was an awesome story, and the way it was done could bring tears to the eyes. But it makes one think of what we have, which is grace. And it's all because of him. Because in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom, which is God, we have redemption through his blood, which is Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As we approach the Passover, we need to reflect the grace that we have in Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Of his own free will, as directed by the will of our Father in heaven, for the remission of sins that nobody could have any other way except the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. The Old Testament and even the kingdom had to live by the law. And in the law was no resurrection life, but the ability to live a long life. There was no resurrection given to any that lived by the law, but by the grace of God through Christ, all can have a resurrection hope that believe on his name. We did see that Jonah did come back to life. We know he had to be dead within the belly of the whale. But it's still not an eternal resurrection. But life eternal is what man today has the ability to have to believe on our Lord and Savior. In the Old Testament, the very first reference of grace as who found grace was Noah. It says Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the Hebrew form Cain. It's in favor of grace or gracious. In Exodus 33:12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. The Lord God told Moses that he found grace in his sight. And in 33:17 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. See, Moses found grace in the sight of God. Noah found grace in the sight of God. We know David found grace in the sight of God. Because had it been by the law, David should have died for having Bathsheba's husband killed in battle. Intentionally. In Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, even with the Psalms here, you have to walk uprightly to receive grace. We don't have to do that today. For in the New Testament, in Luke 2:40, talking about Jesus as a young child, and the young child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. See, grace is a very strong object. It's one of those that you can't see, but it's there. When during this play that we went to, when Christ was being beaten in the trial, and they was having Barabbas to swap out, that the trial, the play gave an example that Christ himself took Barabbas' place on the cross. And when you think about it, he did. The complexity of God's grace is demonstrated in the distribution of spiritual gifts. This is another example of God's grace given by the Holy Spirit, or manifestations of grace that equip believers for service and edification with the body of Christ. In Corinthians, we see the diversity of gifts from the Spirit onto believers. Peter, it references by the manifold grace of God in 1 Peter 4:8-11. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And we know that charity is love. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as to the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as if as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Another example of the multifarious positions that grace puts forth on mankind. In John, we have grace for grace. This being the transfer from the grace of the Old Testament, which was very minor, to the grace in the New Testament of Christ. In John 1:14-17, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, from a child all the way up. He that grace and truth, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, which is Christ. For he was before me, and all of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. the grace of the Old Testament is done away with and the grace of the New Testament has established. For it was the law, for the law was, on 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace in place of grace. New grace. Continuous and unintermitted. Ever fresh grace according to the need. The riches of grace makes us acceptable by one way, by Christ. Grace allows us to be free to walk in His way or not. Yes, even continuing and living in a free life of sin, when we're looking at the fact that we are all sinners saved by grace with the forgiveness of His grace. We have a relationship with Christ being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is grace. That's the power of grace. That's the power of grace by His shed blood. In John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This by grace, by His grace. God has a grip on us, on you, that nobody can take. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom, Christ, ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that sealing is a grip that God put on you that nobody can take away from you. If it's lost, it's lost by your own free will. If you allow Satan to enter in and disrupt your being, it's because you chose to. By His grace, when you come to God through prayer, He will either give you your request or the answer is no. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By the riches of His grace in Colossians and Ephesians, we are personally tied with Christ in the light. And you know, my 41-2 studies altogether that are the light studies, the light of Christ, that we walk in the light with Christ. In Colossians 1:12, says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. In the upon heavens, that's where the light is. And to be partakers is to have a portion of that inheritance. Light begins in the believer, descending from the Father of lights by Jesus, the true light, and is perfected in the kingdom of light, which includes knowledge, purity, love, and joy. We have a position as being ambassadors of Christ. I'm a student. As being students and or teachers of this word, when we talk to people We are ambassadors for Christ. In Romans 8:31-39, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Through Christ, we have the power of grace. We have the blessings of grace. Again, when you get to looking at the passion that Christ went through, you can't help but have a tear in your eye to know the suffering that that man went through to allow us the ability to have the grace that we have. The Spirit of God has made a protection around us by the riches of the grace of God. In 35 of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The Apostle Paul went through every bit of this. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are as accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You can look at yourself and say, no, I'm not, because we're not at this time. But the Apostle Paul was teaching to those that were, to those that were walking with Christ and his messages. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul went through that. The apostles went through that. After Christ went through that. So all of those before us suffered to get this word out. So it's our obligation to be so thankful for this grace that it can't even be given words. The riches of the grace has seated you with him in heavenly places. Christ sees us already seated with him. It's our position. In Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. Grace in time of need. All we have to do is think on our Lord and Savior. But we can go back to the Psalms for this one. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in time of trouble. Those who he called in Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And then who he justified, them he also glorified. The riches of His grace gives us a personal relationship with Christ. Ephesians 1:1-8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus to this present day. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's a done. It's done by grace. All this is done. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. You can't help but to praise the glory of His grace, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Grace. He's given that to us with all wisdom and prudence. Ephesians 2:4-8. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. It's done. Has raised us together with Christ. Quickened. It's done. By grace are you saved. And He hath raised us up and together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace again in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then we can go back to the Hebrew message that Ronnie's been given, the faith message of those that through faith they believe God. But by grace we're saved through our faith in God. And that not of ourselves. Why? Because it's a gift of God. In Romans 3:24, we are being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is that apolytrosis. It's a redemption that is the payment of a ransom in Christ's death. Character riches of His grace, being loved unconditionally, freely given by blessed us in all blessings in heavenly places, included in His plan. Not a stranger. He has redeemed us. You live as redeemed by Christ. Shed blood to be accepted of God. In Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patient experience, and experience hope. The hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Grace and suffering. God's grace is also evident in the believer's experience of suffering. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-12, recounts God's response to his plea for relief from the thorn of the flesh. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." Here, grace is portrayed as a sustaining force that provides strength and endurance among trials, revealing its sufficiency and power in human weakness. What more? I'm trying to think of a word, but how much stronger can grace be than that? I can't even think of a word. 2 Corinthians 12, 1-12. "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory," Apostle Paul. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago," when we're talking about John. "Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. But such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." He's glorying in his infirmities. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, I put up with, lest any man should think of me above that which I seem to seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above all measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul knew that he had a job to finish up the sufferings of Christ. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That power is grace. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong through grace. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The complexity of God's grace is a profound and exhaustible subject within Scripture. It encompasses the entirety of God's redemptive work. The power that comes within from Christ and from our Lord, from salvation to sanctification, and it extends to every aspect of the believer's life. Through grace, God reveals his character, his love, and his purpose for humanity, inviting all to partake in the richness of his favor through his grace. My last verse tonight is going to be Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, because I read it every time I do a study. Be therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The riches of the grace of God are so powerful, and we can't help, like I said to start off, you can't help but see the grace that is given us. You would be, I don't want to say it, but you would be a fool not to see it. When we see the stories, we're coming up on the Passover, so we're going to see more events like the thorn, which was awesome, and it had a good message, a fantastic message. Even it even had some wrongly divided scripture as saying Christ was crucified on Friday. I sent out an email today with the appendix of the last hours of the Lord, so anybody can email that out with a message to your family that sometimes will listen to you, sometimes they don't want to listen to you because they're caught up in tradition. But let's share that and let them look at it and do the math. I mean, you can't get 3 days out of Friday to Sunday unless you're playing with Common Core math that we're trying to do away with in our modern math system. But this is my message tonight, and I might be giving another message next week. It depends on if we can get Bob and Mike to work. And I see he got logged in, so we did get him in. We're just having a little issue of locking his mic on. We got him to where he can hold it down and deliver his message, but it won't stay blocked. We're working on that, but y'all pray for that we can get Bob in here and get him hooked back up. But that's my message for tonight, and I thank you guys for putting up with me. And just remember the blessings that we have by the riches of the grace of God, even Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, dear Lord, for you and your grace that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Sometimes we're remiss to actually see it. But Lord, every now and then we can feel it. We know that we have more of a blessing that mankind has ever had through your grace. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that. And Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.